This morning's Bible reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servants for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wines abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Thank you for being here this morning. What we do this morning, we can't do ourselves anywhere else. This is unique. We can't hear the word of God together unless we're together and hear the word of God. So thank you for coming and the opportunity to encourage each other. I would like to say that I'm not a worrier. That when anxiety comes, I pray, I thank God, and I move on. But to say that would be lying. The reality is that I come from parents who worry, and I've inherited that view of life. I go through times of waking at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, not wanting to open my eyes because I don't want to know the time, but I lie there trying not to think, but in trying not to think, I begin thinking. And I worry. I worry about an issue that I don't know what to do with, and it goes around and round and round. I get up and go to the bathroom, try not to look what time is. Thankfully, there are no snakes. I long to switch off, but sleep evades me. Psalm 4, like we saw last week with Ant preaching Psalm 3, is a psalm that mentions sleep. The psalm begins with David in distress and crying out for God to answer. But it ends with peaceful sleep because David is secure. In God. How I long for that. As I lie in bed trying not to worry, but worrying, I sometimes remind myself of some of the Psalms and pray and ask God to help me to trust him and not only say that I trust him. So this is a psalm for me. In a sense, it's as though I'm preaching this psalm to myself, and you can listen in if you'd like to. What can we learn from this psalm to help us to rest in the midst of difficult circumstances because of being confident and secure in God? We've been going through a brief series on the Psalms. Last week, Ange spoke on Psalm 3, and the heading, or he used the word superscription, that appeared above that psalm, Psalm 3, connected the incident to something to do with his son Absalom. Now, some scholars think that Psalm 4 is also connected to Psalm 3. It relates to a similar incident. Both have some similar words, but both, interestingly, refer to sleep in both Psalms. But whether they're connected or not, we don't know. What we do know is from the heading on Psalm 4, it was a psalm that was useful for public worship. It was a psalm to encourage God's people. Psalm 4 is a prayer in which David longs for God to answer, but he seems silent. Answer me when I call to you. And yet, even while David is desperate, he doesn't forget God's character. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. The word righteous refers to God always acting rightly. He is always innocent in his actions. He's never guilty in what he does. He is always right, even though his silence may imply something to the contrary. In fact, the silence in this psalm creates tension, which we can see in the words that David uses. The word relief means give room, make some space. The word distress means constrained. David is pressured, he's being squeezed, and he longs for some space, he longs for some freedom, for respite. He prays to the righteous God who always acts rightly, even though he's being squashed by the situation. Godly prayer is an affirmation of trust that God will act rightly, even if we can't see the evidence. I remember many, many years ago being at court with a friend who was charged with a criminal offence. While he was adamant that he was naive and not guilty, an older believer got a group of us who were younger together to pray for this man, this young man who he's been charged. And he prayed, I don't remember the words, but I remember the sentiment in which he prayed. He prayed that God in his righteousness would bring about justice and that the truth would be honoured. My friend was found guilty. He spent a couple of years in jail. But how that older man prayed on that day had an impact on me. He prayed, reminding us of God's character, and that God will always act rightly, even though we may not see the evidence. That's what David does. He's in this situation where he's been squashed and squeezed. He's under pressure. And yet he reminds himself that God always acts rightly. But it's as though as he prays, he has a conversation in his mind. I can do this sometimes. I can be praying about a situation that involves other people, and I'm kind of telling the other people how they should act, what I want them to do. I'm not talking to them, but I'm talking to God. And this seems to be what David does. He reflects in this situation where he's being squashed on what his opponents need to hear. He speaks to them, not literally, but in his conversation with God, and he tells them what they need. In David's difficult situation, he prays that they may know. Don't be deceived. God is the answer. How long, this is verses 2 and 3, how long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. As David thinks about these people as he's praying, he repeats the word how long twice. It's as though he is saying, why are you continuing this with this stupidity? Why do you trust in what is deceptive? For they have settled for what is counterfeit. They believe that what is shameful is actually glorious. They believe in what is false, or they believe what is true, what actually is false. Before I did my nursing training, I worked as what is now called, it wasn't called then, but it was now called an assistant in nursing in aged care. And I would, sometimes people going from the dining room or going to the bathroom, I walk alongside them and they would either hold on to me or I would be holding and supporting them. They liked having support and reassurance. And we would walk along slowly, but it would be okay. And yet as soon as they came to something that they thought was more secure, they would be reaching out, trying to grab something. Doesn't matter, it's a wheelchair without the brakes on, or a trolley. They think anything is more secure than David. They're deceived into thinking what they thought would be secure. They leave where it's safe and put themselves in a place that is unsafe. This is what David is saying in his mind as he prays about these people. His opponents claim that God was on their side. But David said, God knows those who belong to him. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. That verb, set apart, is a verb that's used in the Exodus account, where God distinguished the Israelites from the Egyptians. He set the Israelites apart. And when the plagues came, the Israelites were saved because they were set apart. They were distinguished because they belonged to God. He had chosen them and he knew them. And even though David could not see the answer to his difficult situation, even though he's being squashed and squeezed and desperate for relief, he was confident that he belonged to God because God knew him. When Jesus cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was a cry of separation in bearing the world's sin. And yet it was also an expression of trust in his Father. Psalm 22, from where those words come, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's how Psalm 22 begins. But the psalm ends with assurance and trust. Jesus knew that he belonged to the Father, even when the Father turned his face away. Here is a reminder how we are to pray when life is difficult. If we trust in the Lord Jesus, know that we belong to God. Know that he is righteous and he always acts rightly, and that we are secure in him. The great temptation is always to trust in what looks good and what looks secure. Don't be deceived. David, as he goes on and contemplating, reflecting on those people as he prays, then says, don't complain, trust and worship God. And David, in his contemplations, reflects on what these people are not to do, but also what they are to do. In verses 4 and 5, in your anger, do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. On the one hand, David, as he's praying, thinking about these people, having a conversation in his prayer to God about these people, he tells them to be quiet. They may think that they have the answer. They may think they have grounds to oppose David, to be angry at David. But he tells them to keep it to themselves. be quiet. But interestingly, the word anger can also be translated tremble. When we're uptight or disagree with how the future looks, we can react by being afraid, angry, complaining. But David reminds us that every opportunity, regardless of what is happening, is actually an opportunity to stop and reflect and respond to the God who is awesome. The situation has not changed who God is. The pressure has not changed God's character. God is still God. Even when the future is not clear and we feel insecure, the right response to a holy and righteous God who is far greater than what I am facing is to be overwhelmed by his goodness and greatness and live in worship and trust. But unfortunately, that is often how I don't respond. I don't respond with awe. Rather, I find it so easy to respond with complaining or to be apathetic or to throw my hands up and say, it's all too hard. So I need to preach to myself. I need to remind myself that God is still God in the midst of what is happening. In a sense, as David says, to be silent and to think rightly. The last few weeks, I've gone to the Chinese prayer meeting on Tuesday mornings. We sing for an hour. That was something that I hadn't experienced at a prayer meeting before. I'm growing to appreciate the importance of that. I don't know if this is the reason, Leamber can tell me afterwards, or Julia, but for me, often it takes me a while for my heart to soften. It's not that I don't like singing, but I go to the prayer meeting and it's the next thing on the agenda. I'm there to do the next thing so I can go and then do the next thing. I go and my heart is not full of gratitude. My heart is still on the agenda. It takes time. And as we sing and look at the words and hear the passion with which other people sing, it is helpful for me. It reminds me about the words, about who God is. It gives me an opportunity to preach to myself about the goodness of God. I find it so encouraging hearing other stories or seeing other people as they follow Christ and take following Christ seriously. And often that does my heart good, like going to the Chinese prayer meeting, whether it's through biographies or listening to other people pray. I was going to say, or reading blogs about how God used them. Can I let you know, I'm not a technological person. I don't read blogs. If you want to communicate on Facebook, please do so, but Ange will tell me. I'm fighting a battle with Ange not to be on Facebook. So if everyone comes up to ask me and says, you need to be on Facebook, I might reconsider that. I find it really encouraging hearing how God uses other people as a way of helping me to remember who God is and to think rightly and preach the gospel to myself. And I want to tell you just recently, or a few months ago, about what Helen Shum told me. Many of you know Helen. I've asked her permission to be able to use this. A few months ago, she went to Bali, and I told Hella that we'd be praying for her. And when she came back, she shared this with me. After, on her way home from Bali, she was sitting at the airport waiting for her return flight, and she decided to get something to eat. She was waiting to start checking in when a young woman came and sat beside her. This lady was trying to book a flight but was not able to connect in time. And during the next half hour, she poured out her distress to Helen. Her husband is in Yemen with Doctors Without Borders. She had a decision to make and she was finding it difficult to make. Helen saw the opportunity to tell how God had led her to come to Bali and helped with decisions that Helen herself had to make. And with Helen sharing personally, it almost gave this lady permission to express a disappointment and anger with God. She spoke about her drivenness and her extreme tiredness. She had put pressure on herself to perform in the area of pioneering a catering business in Asia. She said, "My husband wants me to be brave." And Helen asked the question, "Would he still love you if you weren't?" Helen then said, "Can I pray for you?" "Yes, please," said the lady. And Helen put a hand on the lady's shoulder and brought all the emotions that she'd expressed to Jesus, asking him to come into those places in her life. Weeping, the lady said, "When you put your hand on my shoulder, I heard Jesus say to you, 'I want you to rest.'" Helen shared with the lady about Jesus saying, "Come to me and rest. Learn from me. Find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the woman said she'd never thought about Jesus like that before. Hearing that interaction of God graciously using Helen, who herself says that she's not an outward person, it just resonated with awe of God within me. It was so good to be reminded of God's bigness. It is so easy for me to be self-focused. It is so easy to complain. But David says, "Be silent. Reflect on who God is and worship and trust." And the third thing, don't despair, but rejoice in all that we have. In verses 6 to 8, many, Lord, are asking, "Who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine upon us. Fill my heart with joy as when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone make me dwell in safety." The word prosperity can also be translated good and beautiful. And it seems that the people that David's referring to are looking for what they think is good in life. They want the good life. But they don't see that the good is found in God or in his representative. And so David, as he reflects on these people and praying to God, takes the blessing that God gave to the priests of Israel to pronounce over Israel, to help people see God's goodness. It comes from Numbers chapter 6. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." For God to turn his face is a prayer to see God more clearly, to delight in him, a joyful delight. a joyful delight unlike what people see as the good that this world offers. The good that this world offers might be a pay rise, a better job, a good harvest. But David wants a joy more than that. David's joy is that he is known, loved and secure, even when life is stressful and pressured and God seems to be silent. And as he prays, he has a quiet confidence while being pressed that everything will be okay. We need food and money to survive, but it is knowing that God reigns and who we are in him that gives peace and brings sleep. Elizabeth and I pray for a family whom the Church of Toronto support. They work with Global Interaction. Their names are Tobias and Heather Houston, and they serve in Mozambique. They've been trying to get their visas for Mozambique renewed, but not before the time came when they had to leave the country. So they went to Malawi, which is next door, and they got a short-term visa for Malawi. But that visa expired on January 7th. So they had to leave Malawi and they went to Zambia to get a new visa so they go back to Malawi while they wait for their visa for Mozambique, because they need to be close to get there as soon as they're here. They end, just an abbreviated prayer letter, with these words. It's a good thing that our God knows all, including the future. We continue to trust him and pray that we will look back on this time with gratefulness. And I felt so humbled as I read those words. Trust and recognition that God is in control and how we are to respond is what this psalm is all about. And therefore, David is able to sleep. David, and I'll finish. David penned this psalm as God's anointed king. And David had a confidence that he would be protected because he was God's representative. So this psalm actually points us to God's representative, who was the Lord Jesus. It is in him that we are secure. It is him, in him that we find answers. It is in him where we worship and trust. It is in him that we can rejoice because of all that we have. David reminded himself and others as he prayed in the situation that was pressing on him that he was known and loved and belonged to God. He was able to sleep, not controlled by worry and fear, because of the peace and security for us that is ours in Christ. Don't be deceived. Don't complain. Don't despair. Know that God is the answer. Respond rightly by trusting and worshipping, and rejig, preach the gospel to ourselves so that we see all we have in him. Can I pray now? Our Father, we confess that we are deceived so easily. We so easily become jealous as we see what other people have. We so easily complain when situations don't work out as we think they should. We can fall into despair because of the things that happen, wondering where you are. Our Father, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of situations that press upon us, it almost seems counterintuitive, but there we pray that you would give us the capacity to keep looking to the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your Spirit who resides in us, and we thank you for his testimony of pointing us to Christ, towards Christ. So we pray that you'll help us to know that you are the answer. Help us to keep trusting. And Father, help us to see the wealth that we have in the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gift of sleep. It doesn't always come easily. We don't want to be flippant. But we pray that you will remind us that in Christ we don't have to worry to the extent that we often do. Thank you for your goodness. Amen.